Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Yang kinshi samudaya dhammang sabantang nirodha dhammanti. Which, if you were paying attention, was the realization of Anyakondanya, after the Buddha gave the Dhammacakkappavattana's talk. And that was his expression of being a stream winner. All that is has causes, which is has samudaya, arising nature. When it says samudaya, it doesn't mean just arising, it means things which have causes, which are contingent, which are based on other things. All those things which are based on other things, which themselves are impermanent, is also of the nature to cease, to end, to finish, to poof, disappear. And that was, when he realized that, that was the expression of being a stream winner. And what it really meant is just all of the khandhas, you know, which I've been talking about at length during the Word of the Buddha classes, which all the monks and novices here should know very well. All those khandhas of the body, very easy to see that that disappears. All the vedana, you cannot have a eternally happy existence anywhere, after death, in Nibbana or whatever, because Vedana, pleasure or pain, you know, enjoyment, satisfaction, it is samudaya, it arises because of causes. When those causes change or vanish, so does the happiness. So you can't expect anywhere in this world to always be satisfied or happy. Not even in the heaven realms. Not even in the jhana realms, the happiness and satisfaction lasts for such a long time, but eventually it fades away. So any of you who have been dissatisfied today or earlier, welcome to the world. This is nothing wrong with this monastery. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with anything. This is our life. It cannot be avoided. Satisfaction is a samudaya dhamma, arises and passes away. And if you always want to find a place where you are respected and cared for, where compassion is directed solely to you, then best of luck, mate. Ajahn Chah, his teaching, I haven't said it for a long time, he said that once there was a man who decided to search for a tortoise with a moustache. And he went to many different provinces of Thailand and even overseas looking for the tortoise with a moustache. And he never found one. Why? Because there ain't no such thing. And in fact, just when I was over in the last time I was in Wat Phapong, somebody had made a little like those garden ornaments, and it was a tortoise, they put a moustache on it. Well, that was just an ornament, it wasn't a real thing. But it was in honour of Ajahn Chah's simile. And that was his simile, that such a things don't exist. So, do you get it? Yang kinshi samudaya dhammang. Sabantang nirodha dhammanti. Your happiness. If you think, oh, I haven't had a happy retreat. Oh, it's been miserable. Oh, I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. Oh, it's not good enough. Oh, there's this mistake and that mistake. Ha ha ha. If you're looking for a place which doesn't have those qualities, you too are like the person looking for a tortoise with a moustache. The perfect monastery. The perfect teacher, the perfect fellows in monastic life. Such a thing doesn't exist. And the longer you live, the more you understand why it doesn't exist. This is the human realm. It's not the Devaloka. The Devaloka is more happy. But this has a lot of disappointment, a lot of unhappiness. And sometimes I just think, these people are crazy. Try to make this world a perfect place. Yeah, you know, we're compassionate, we try our very best, but it's basically hopeless. That's why I always remember just before the Buddha became enlightened, and Mara coming up to him. You know, he tried all sorts of things to stop him becoming enlightened, to stop him letting go. And one of the powerful enticements for the Buddha, what I call the Bodhisattva trap, was forget about being enlightened. You can be a world-turning monarch, basically a leader, a powerful individual who can control this world and make it in a wonderful place. It's all of you sometimes think, well, if only I could be in control. If I was a boss and had real power in the sangha, in the monastery, in the village, in the world, if I was the president of the United States, I would do things so much differently. You know, a lot of people in power, because I've met a few people in power, and they think the same. They really fall into that trap of power with the very best intentions. But they find that they cannot sort of do what they want to do. That they are in a trap too. They are like a person who cannot, no individual has the strength to swim against the currents which are pushing you and forcing you all the time. Conflicting ideas, different agendas, always pressing at you from so many different angles. It's just impossible. No one can do that. And in the end, all leaders fail. Because whatever they wanted to do, they will never get there. And that's why the Buddha saw, you know, to try and be a world-turning monarch and make this perfect world, impossible. Recently, I'm going to get into trouble for this, but here we go. Recently, I saw the Federation of Australian Buddhist Councils. They were very, very happy that I think some international organization, I think, have got together a nice letter, you know, from the Dalai Lama, Thich Nhat Hanh, and all these other leaders, about climate control, trying to do something to stop climate control. And at last we have a Buddhist voice. And can everyone sign it? I'm not going to sign it. Because it's something the whole purpose of my monastic life is not to make a beautiful world. It's to get out of this world, to escape. But climate change is really important. There's going to be so much destruction. There is going to be destruction anyway. As long as human beings have greed, hate and delusion, there's going to be wars. There's going to be the haves and have-nots, the greedy people. But it's going to destroy humanity. It's only a band-aid solution. Humanity is going to be destroyed. Remember, you know what I heard a long time ago, which my old friend Professor Bernard Carr said, this is our future. And something about this, when I heard this, I wasn't distressed, but I thought it was actually beautiful. Because I always want to have cessation, ending of things, not just continuance. People want continuance. Want our species to keep going on forever and ever and ever. There's something fundamentally wrong with that. And anyway, you know, I heard this when I was at university, and Bernard repeated it. The future of our sun is going to expand. It's just its nature. It's just for sure. Until it's going to totally take up the orbit of Mercury, that's going to just be subsumed into the sun, the body of the sun. And Venus is going to be... Mars, not Venus. Venus is close, isn't it? Venus is going to be, if it doesn't get subsumed, it's going to be totally evaporated, and so is planet Earth. We're going to be vaporized. with nothing left of humanity at all. No records left at all. Everything written. Four USB sticks with all the data on it. It's all going to just melt and disappear forever, with no record that humanity ever lived. That's really clean. Leaving nothing left at all. We are impermanent. Yan kinshi samudhiya dhammang sabbantang nirodha dhammanti. Life, humanity. It was of the nature to arise, evolved. Evolved from the swamps and from the algae. And we just go back into dust, cosmic dust. That's the other thing which I always remember. They always were saying, just in just the nature of physics and the solar systems, is actually to create atoms like carbon, elements like carbon and iron. The only way you can have that and create it is to be able to go through two supernovae. And so if you asked, you know, the elements in your body, and you ask, you know, if you could find out their history, all the elements in your body have twice gone through this massive explosion in space. You know, as they say, we literally are stardust. And that's where we came from. Massive cataclysms. So it's part of humanity having crises, having cataclysms. Yeah, to prevent it, to put it off. But there's something even more important than the continuance of our species. There's something more important than the Bodhisattva trap trying to help the world. And that is to escape from this samsara. And that's what the Buddha chose when he had the choice of being this powerful being who could do so much to lessen suffering in the world, to create a happier world. But he thought that was what we call these days band-aid solutions. Instead he said, no, now's the time to get out of this world. And that's what he did. Because he understood, it just doesn't matter, it's the whole nature, the underlying science of life. Is you can be happy, but then you suffer, then you get happy, then you suffer. And you cannot make a utopia. Even making it better, it gets worse again. So, understanding that maybe it was because of my age, and I still have the echoes of that Second World War with this huge suffering. And people forgot about that now. And they just, one bomb goes off in one town, and, you know, 100 people die or something, and it's huge news. I often say that my parents were saying that happened every night for months. And even, here we go, personal story. My mother, with my grandma, my grandfather, he was out, fire warden. And if ever you've seen those, what they're called terraced houses, where one house was, you know, right next to the neighbours. Just a whole line of houses, no space between the houses, just a common wall between them. And it was the house next door got the direct hit from a bomb. So the neighbours were totally killed all at once. And of course, being a bomb going off just on the other side of a wall, you know, that there was a huge amount of damage, all the windows blew out, and my mother got terribly gashed, apparently, but she survived. But, you know, literally came within about 3 foot of dying. And that was, wonderfully, that was accepted. People never actually got so traumatized by that. It was a wonderful time there to see that from your parents and grandparents, how they reacted to that. There's something about, this is our life. They used to say, if the bomb has got your number on it, then you're dead, but why worry? And there wasn't that much worry there, apparently. And it was sometimes incredible. I remember one of the older men who used to come here a long time ago, his wife was here the other day, Chalai and Bruce. And Bruce was a New Zealander. He joined up in the army and he got captured. And he escaped the prisoner of war camp. He made it all the way to England. He was a hero. Apparently, he told me he's the first New Zealander to escape from the POW camps. And as soon as he was in England, he was with one of his friends and they came out of an underground station there. And the fire wardens, the sirens went off for an air raid. And so immediately he turned around and ran back into the underground station until he realized he was the only one running in that direction. And all the other people, they were just waiting for the bus, reading their newspapers, going, they didn't care about air raid sirens and bombings. They were totally blasé about it. And he thought, oh my goodness, I'm in uniform, I'm supposed to be a hero. Look at me. There's something about, you know, that time, which I remember my parents and friends telling me. It was this wonderful sense of acceptance. Instead of just this negativity, which, you know, you find these days, incredible negativity. The more comfortable, the more safe we are, the more we demand. The more we feel we're entitled. And there's a lack of resilience. But anyway, let's go back to the Yankichi Samudaya Dhamma, where we got the Vedana. You can't expect to be happy all the time. You're going to have your bad days, your times when you feel terrible, you feel rotten, you feel upset, you lose your inspiration. You lose your happiness. So what do? Yankichi Samudaya Dhamma, Sabantang Naroda Dhammanti. This is just Vedana. This is what Vedana is like. It's its nature. So you investigate and get to know that nature, and you don't think, a wonderful realization, wow, there's nothing wrong with me. This is the nature of being on a retreat. Happiness one day, misery the next, and more happiness. So the whole purpose of this is not to create happiness totally, but to create understanding and wisdom that this is the nature. It's out of control. It's not your fault or anyone else's fault. And that's a huge thing, because in life we're always blaming somebody else. And people who get depressed blame themselves. There's no one to blame. That realization by itself can take away a huge amount of dukkha. There's no one to blame. This is life. Number two, or three rather, you know, all these perceptions we have. And there's so many arguments come up about who said what, and whether we did it right, whether we did it wrong, and how we perceive things. I perceive it this way, someone else perceives it another way. And as much of my life, being the senior monk, is to handle all these different perceptions people have about what happened, what should be done, what shouldn't be done. That's all they are. You know, I'm sure Ajahn Bhumali will attest, I changed my perceptions. And sometimes they say, well, you said the other thing the other day, and now you say this thing. I said, of course, Yankichi Samudaya Dhammang Sabantang Naroda Dhammanti. I am not consistent. My perceptions change. Okay, you see, it's in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So please accept that and expect it. So when you actually see these perceptions, you don't take any of them as absolute truth. And when it's not absolute truth, it's very, very hard to argue with anybody. It's just one perception against another perception. But my perception, I'm an expert. Oh God, experts. They drive you crazy. And it's true, I say that because I've had too many experts, and experts on Buddhism, experts on the Vinaya, experts on this, and experts on that. And it's just one perception against another perception. But we always say our perceptions are more accurate than yours. Just the old elephant and the blind men again. Yeah, of course. If you felt the elephant's trunk, you felt it. It cannot be a fly whisk. You can't whisk flies with an elephant trunk. The guy felt the tail nose differently. But those are beautiful, beautiful little similes, maybe overdone, but sometimes because everybody knows them, we forget them. We forget to realize that it's just different ways of looking at things. And then we've got these other things. Ha ha ha! All our thoughts and will. Yang kinshi samudhiya dhammang sabantang nirodha dhammanti. All your insights. Have you got insights? Are you wise? I put those into the views, into the sankhara. They just come and they just go. So, can't we just let those go? Problem at this time of a retreat, as I tell you, some of the people in Jhana Grove, that this time of the retreat, only 2 weeks to go, God, I've done nothing, I've got nowhere. I should remind you that the first talk I gave here is, please do not set any goals. So anyone who's disappointed with their progress on this retreat was not paying attention to my first talk. It's your fault. The only way you can be disappointed is if you expected something. The only way you can feel a failure is if you set a goal. Why do we do things like that? Just this ego that I am going to become a stream winner. I am going to really get my meditation together. I am going to become wise. I am going to... Look, that is the problem. Because when you set goals, it's just another certificate you have on your wall. It's been a while since I've been to the doctors. But I go to the dentist every now and again. I can't get away from that because the dentist's wife is a president of Buddhist society. Head of the committee. I mean, problems. But anyway. So, those of you who've gone to Jake's surgery, see all those certificates on his wall? You go to the doctor, see all the certificates on their wall? And it's, what are you putting certificates on walls for? Why are you putting your attainments on the wall of your mind? You know, who you are. You know, I am a terror now. I've got 10 reins. Do you want a certificate?
Yes, please.
You're a terror. Okay, I will give you a certificate and I'll nail it to your head.
No, thanks.
Very good. Well, who is a terror then? Who's a terror? Is it your head a terror? Your ears a terror? Is it your Vedana, your Sanya, Sankara, your Vijnana is a terror? What is a terror? You know, what is an arahat? Who's an arahat? Is it your body is an arahat? Is it your Vedana, your Sanya, Sankara, your Vijnana? Which is it, an arahat? If you can tell me which of the five khandhas you can nail the title stream winner or arahat to, then I'll give you a certificate. And I'll nail it to you. Okay. Now you're getting the message here that this monastery, which hopefully follows the Dharma of the Buddha, does not follow the Dharma of the world. Don't confuse the two. The Dharma of the world goes one way. This goes a totally different way. Attainments. Getting somewhere. Attachments to those attainments. This has nothing to do with this monastery. So this time of the retreat, may you all be content. Doesn't matter. No goals. So why not be content? Why be disappointed? Why be so happy you've made so much progress on this retreat? That's being a dummy. That's not being a meditator. I made progress. My meditation is much, much better now. You haven't got meditation. You don't own the meditation. So give up all these goals and attainments and trying to get something. And then you have some idea of what this Buddha was talking about. Just these things. Yang kinchi samudhiya dhammang. If an attainment has a cause, if it's samudhiya, the attainment will cease. the stream running? What are the causes? What makes it arise? Maybe when those causes cease, stream running ceases. And it can't just cease like that, because this is not something which is caused. This is a disappearance, not an appearance, a disappearance, a vanishing, a going closer and closer to cessation, to Nirodha. So as things disappear, the more you are vanishing, the more you can say that the five khandhas are just disappearing, they're shutting down. So it shuts down so much, that's okay, that stream winning shutting down, shut down a bit more, and it's Sakadagami, more shutting down. And then eventually when it shuts down totally, that's Parinibbana. It's just a turning off of this process, that's all it is. It's not an attainment, it's a turning off. And if you go for the attainments, then you're in big, big trouble. Because once there is an attainment, there is something for will to get its teeth into. Yes. Please explain to me, Ajahn Brahm, what are the causes for stream meaning? What have I got to do to become a stream meaning? Thank you, at last. Now I can will it. I've got something to do at last. Or just the stages of meditation. You know, I wrote some of the first books, but I had to backtrack because people totally misunderstood them. When I started putting in the basic method of meditation, stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four. What a stupid thing that was for me to do. Because as soon as you put stages in there, you give will a playground. So you can go for stage one. And after a while, yes, I can get stage one. Sometimes people have asked me, you know, can you confirm, please, I've got to stage one? It's again a nice certificate. I don't give them anything, but, you know, they just want confirmation. So, yeah, okay, I've got stage one, now I can go to stage two. And that just creates more of a sense of will and a self. You can see, just they say, I've got to stage three. How far have you got? I've got nowhere. Yeah, nah, I'm much better than you. And all of that sort of stuff, you've seen that before, and that's just nothing to do with the Dhamma. Who's the best teacher? Who's the best meditator? Who's the wisest? It's one of the reasons why, you know, we have this sitting hierarchy. The one who's got the most reign sits at the top. Imagine what it would be like if you had to have the wisest sits in the front of the line. How can we decide that? You know, fight for it? Have an exam, a test? And then you find out where you sit, and if you do really well this year, then you can actually go two or three ahead of the person sitting next to you. That's a hopeless way. So just whoever ordained first, you know, they can go first, that's all it is. So that means there's no the hierarchies and the egos, no grades. That's in the world. The kids are doing year 12 exams now, poor things, and they're going to be judged. And because of that, they're going to have half the kids are going to think they're failures, and half are going to get egotistic and think they can do anything now because, you know, they've gotten the top 5%. And there's something very wrong with that. In the world, maybe, but, you know, in the Dhamma, no way. So, doesn't matter what you have done or haven't done on this retreat, all your successes and failures, they're totally to be shredded. I've got a new shredder, thanks to Craig and Nyanavaro, so all your attainments you can put in my shredder. And all your failures too get shredded too. Isn't it wonderful? No attainments, no failures. Imagine that right now. All your disappointments, failures, things you didn't like, things you did like, happened so far in your whole life. Shred the whole lot. So you've got nothing left. Now where are you? Now you're at peace. All this past business. The first talk, stay in the present moment. Forget the past. Shred it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And it's all about this attainments and failures business. And unfortunately, we've raised the bar so much in our modern world that most people feel failures and they get depressed. Just heard, oh, actually, the chanting, or maybe this talk, I forgot to put him in the chanting, KC Chan from Hong Kong. He got depressed. I think Rebecca may know him. But no, poor fellow. And he's a really nice guy. Why does he have to be depressed? And because he's in this world of having to attain, having status, and if you miss out, you feel like a failure. And the stakes are so high these days that so many people, they can't reach that. And they feel that they are hopeless. Please know, in this monastery, all you monks, novices, Anagarikas, laymen, visitors, every year I lower the bar. And hopefully by now I've lowered it so much that even an ant can jump over it. So no expectations at all. Isn't that beautiful? So you've all jumped over the bar. Because the bar is just so incredibly low. So can you feel satisfied? Can you think, wow, great retreat. Without feeling any failure whatsoever. If you can do that, well done. Then I will give you a certificate. Streaming up probably. If you can let go of all the past and all ideas of failure and success. There's no one there to pin any medal on. You let it go, for goodness sake. And when those views and thoughts, and okay, the thought may come up now and disappear again afterwards, another thought comes up. They're just thoughts doing their stuff. So what? They're not mine, none of my business, so you can let them go. And this thing we call will, it's got its causes, it arises and disappears, but don't buy into it. Because of all of the parts of the five khandhas, I always say the will, that is the, please excuse me, the bastard in chief. That really messes you up. And when you don't understand what it is, you know, you really cherish that and try and get your own way. Try and, you know, you see something wrong, it's up to you to fix it up. The will again, messing you around. And that's one of the reasons why people can't meditate. Their will just won't let them. It's always up there, getting you to do this and getting you to do that. I always find it very interesting to follow the way of the will. Sometimes when there's nothing to do, we find something to do. We find a problem and a difficulty. It's the old people over in town, in the world, you know, watching either the news or watching these soap operas. And they just do that. They've got enough problems already. And now they go and take on other people's problems in the soap operas. I remember a story about this. One of the oldest soap operas, I think maybe the oldest soap opera, still going on in UK television, Coronation Street. And it happened once that, I read this in the newspaper, so years and years and years ago, I think somebody shot someone, they're put in jail for something they didn't do. And so many people in UK watched this, that they were up in arms. This was only a TV show, okay, not real. But it was so important to them, they complained, you know, to their MPs, and they had to discuss it in the House of Commons, in British Parliament. And it happened, apparently, a TV show, which was just, you know, fantasy. It was taken so seriously that people complained and they had to sort of, you know, discuss it in, well, they're supposed to be discussing important things like economies and world powers and stuff, and they're discussing Coronation Street in Parliament. Crazy stuff. But why do people do that? Soccer matches. Jeez, it's only a game. No need to take it seriously and kill people as they do in Colombia. Also, I think there was one World Cup once, and the Colombian goalkeeper, you know, he missed a penalty or something, and somebody found him a couple of weeks later and shot him dead. That's why they call those competitions sudden death. That's crazy stuff. But you can laugh at other people, but do you do that? Something happens in the monastery and it becomes just the most important thing in the whole world. So please, remember just why is that? It's because we're looking for something to disturb ourselves. The soap opera of Bodhinyana Monastery. And you live there, but you don't live there. You've got a choice. Take that inside of yourself and make something out of it and live in this world where, and because once there's a soap opera there and there's problems, you feel important. You've got something to do to fix it up. The problem with this place is people always find something to do when there's nothing really they have to do. They can't just live quietly and peacefully. They have to find something to do. Make some problems. And I wouldn't mind if you want to do that, fine, but please don't bother me. You want to make a problem, you made it, you solve it. But you ask yourself, why do we do that? Why can't we just go back into our huts and just sit quietly? It's not, you know, being responsible. It's actually not seeing the Dhamma. Yang kinchi samudaya Dhamma, sabantang nirodha dhammanti. All these things arise and pass away by themselves. It's just life. It's not perfect, can't be. And of course, you know, to see the will pass away. Can you notice the times when you're just sitting there and there's no will going on at all? I remember those times, I call them contentment. Contentment is a time where the will has got no way to sort of grab onto you, onto your mind. You're content, you don't need anything, you don't want anything. It's like will comes like a, first of all, like a servant. It feels like a servant at first, knocks at your door. Do you want anything, sir? I'll get it for you. And after you ask, it controls you. You have to get it. But there's the times, many times I hope, you're sitting in your hut or just outside having your breakfast, whatever it is, and you're just so beautifully content. And Will says, what do I want? Nothing. Don't want anything. Don't want a person, I don't want a girlfriend, I don't want a husband, I don't want any more food, I don't want jhanas, I don't want anything. I'm just happy just being here. Those are times when the will is subdued. It's a time of happiness. And these are the things which you should really notice. When are you happy? If, you know, you think, oh, there's only a couple of weeks to go, I've really got to get into this meditation, ah, then that's will messing you around. As far as the real jhanas are concerned, they never come from willpower. They come from moments of contentment, all piled up one after the other. A moment of contentment, another moment of contentment on top of that, another moment of contentment on top of that, another moment of contentment. You get enough moments of contentment and it just jhanas happen. So you say, okay, I'm going to be content now. That's a willpower again, stop it. So that's what happens. It's called letting go of will. Letting things be is contentment. As I often say, you know, should I let things be or should I let things go? You let go of will and control so you can let whatever's left just be. And after a while you do get content and very happy and peaceful with this. And last of all, your consciousness. The one who knows your mind. You've come here to lose your mind. It's a strange thing, isn't it? People say if you've lost your mind, you're crazy. But that's what we're trying to do here. That's the whole purpose of Buddhism, to lose your mind. Lose everything else as well. But it's not yours anyway. To lose the idea of possession. of this mind, of this knower. Now, when you really get into this, it's the only thing which makes sense. It's the only thing which has a meaning, which has an ending. Everything else in the whole life is just wasting time. This has no meaning. It just goes round and round, sorting out the problems of the world, sorting out the problems of the monastery, sorting out your health. It just goes round and round. But actually going to the core of it, these five khandhas, realizing they're just things which come about, they arise, and they vanish. They disappear, they're subject to cessation. And when you come to this idea of this mind ceasing, this knower, then that is just so powerful. Because the will, that's pretty deep. But the thing which is listening to me now, the thing which feels, it's not a real thing. It comes and it goes. And it can stop and cease. When knowing can cease, why do you want so much experience? That's what most people do. They have their bucket list of things they want to see, places they want to go, things they want to experience. What are you doing that for? Because all of that will be forgotten. You know that our destiny, all the things which you learn, study, all that Pali, the monks here can do Patimokkha, you'll forget that. It will vanish from you. It will disappear. All your knowledge of your friends, your memories, they will all vanish and disappear. Everything which defined you will go, vanish. For some that's scary. For others it's a huge relief. You don't keep anything. Everything vanishes. Just like people who haven't seen the Dhamma are worried about the continuance of the species. They're worried when somebody dies. They think that something's being lost. And they're worried about their own self ceasing. They're not worried about their physical death. They're worried when they get into some deep meditations and things start to vanish. It's all that shows that you haven't really understood this. You still think you own this. There's something personal. There's nothing here personal at all. Just empty processes rolling on. They just finish eventually. Sooner the better. So our job is to see this truth. And if you can really see this truth, it will be known by the fact that, you know, you do become. There we go, like it says in the Ratana Sutta. That a stream winner. It's all about stream winners in the Ratana Sutta. Yatinda kilo, patuing sito, chatubi watebi, asampakampio. Just like they have this thing, an indakila, this big stone post buried into the earth. And it's not moved, you know, by the winds. Just you're not moved by the winds. Things happen, sicknesses, deaths, disappointments, joys. That's all they are, just the winds. They just blow past you, but they don't make you move. That's just being a stream winner. Okay, not an arahat, but a stream winner. An indakila, not moved by the wind. By this world, this life. It doesn't go according to plan. That's why years ago, I remember, whenever this word should comes up, it shouldn't be like this, it shouldn't be like that. That's usually a red flag word, shoulds. It is like this. When it should, we're having fault finding, we're having controlling, we're having business, and it gives us a huge amount of suffering. When we say is like this, I've been around a long time in monasteries. Monasteries are like this. What do you expect? So no, I'm going to find another monastery. Are we going to change this monastery? You are just like another person looking for the mustache, looking for the tortoise with a mustache. The people who are looking for the perfect relationship. There's a lot of people like that. They get married to one person, then they divorce, then they get try again, then they go again and again. People go through many, many, many different relationships, looking for the tortoise with a mustache. Or just to finish off with Ajahn Chakra and his favourite story, which comes up now. And you know, he always used to tell me this was his favourite one. It's a really good one from Nasruddin. You all know this one. Many of you do, some of you don't. There was this Sufi saint, Nasruddin, really funny guy, whether he existed or not, but they made up stories and it was always Nasruddin. And Nasruddin was sitting in front of a pile of chili peppers, really red hot ones. Had a big pile there. And his eyes were all red and watering and snot was coming out of his nose, his cheeks was all fiery red. He'd obviously been eating a lot of chili peppers already. And when his friend caught him, he was putting another chili pepper into his mouth. And it was really hurting him, burning him. He said, "What are you doing that for?" "I'm looking for the sweet one," he said. All chili peppers are hot. There aren't no sweet ones. "Well, I'm looking for the perfect place to stay." All places to stay are hot. They burn you. So if you leave here and go there and go here and go all over the place, do you ever actually get anywhere? Or is it just the same old comes up again? Until such time as you understand what Vedana is, it's just cause, it comes and goes. Attainments, getting things, all the achievements you want to tick off, total waste of time. Stop all of that. Just realize what these five khandhas are. This will, which comes from those wrong views, it just causes you so much unhappiness. I don't know how many of you have been in your heart trying so hard to meditate, and it doesn't work. Why? It's will. Be content. Develop contentment, but not through will. Understand letting go of will. It's still a reasonable, beautiful time of the year. Has some hot days, but cold today. Maybe warming up tomorrow. Just sit in your heart and just enjoy watching the trees grow. Learn how to do nothing. Learn how to be still. Not wanting anything. Abandoning craving. Even for good things, let alone bad things. Learn to be still. And then, all this stuff you read about, brilliant meditations, nimittas and jhanas, they come to you. Sit under the mango trees, perfectly still, then the mangoes fall. Stop chasing the carrot, and the carrot comes to you. So you've got 2 weeks to waste. Please put effort into wasting them. Thank you.
Pano, Bhagavata.